Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today. A few reminders. One is we're having our annual Christmas party after the service today. Feel free to come over to McFadden Hall and join in the party. Carol has got the envelopes for 2025 in the back out there. Also a reminder of our Christmas Eve service on the Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock here. Also want to thank the deacons for delivering the angel tree gifts, everyone who donated gifts for the angel tree gifts, so that's a very special thing for those families. Any other announcements I missed? I think we're having a special blessing today, is that right, Tom? Yes, I guess Tom will talk about that. With that, we will turn it over to Tom for our service.
Winter came, and it was not a disappointment. Isn't it wonderful? Find a blessing in it. Now, here's the thing. When it gets really cold like this, and it warms up to freezing, it feels like spring. So, you know, this is just a gift. So when it gets a little bit warmer, we'll feel so much better. I want to thank the choir and Mickey for the lovely music during Advent, and we'll continue through a service next Sunday, which will be it'll be carols and scripture. But the way the candles have been lighted and the music surrounding that and what they've done has been a true blessing to us, and we're thankful for that. We will have a special blessing this morning after the greeting, after you greet and wave and smile at each other. We will have a blessing, a surprise blessing. So I'll let you just wait and see what that will be. I wasn't sure. Did you mention Patty this morning?
No, that's one thing.
You did that. Okay. I'm not sure of the last name. Gamrod?
Gamrod.
Patty Gamrod was admitted with heart concerns to the hospital, St. Margaret's Hospital, hopes to be here for Christmas Eve. We hope that's true. This will be one of our special prayer requests today as we move through the service. So let's call one another to worship on this Lord's Day. Our souls magnify the Lord. I'm sorry, I got that backwards, didn't I? Let's just change that. I will do the bold, and you do the other. We had a substitute secretary, and he just didn't get that quite right. So, but we appreciate his coming in when the secretary was not able, not feeling well. We had our faithful church clerk come and do that for us. So thank you for that. All right, let's do it again. Our souls magnify the Lord.
Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God gives mercy.
Joyfully and with a full heart, we join together in hymn number 98. With words also on the screen, let us rise if able and sing all with all of our hearts this day.
Thank you.
So let us join together as we remain standing to unite hearts and voices in our corporate confession of sin. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you for sending the light into this world. We confess that we live as though the light had never deepened darkness. We confess that we ignore the Savior sent to be among us, to live in us. We've kept the birth of your Son confined to the Christmas season and do not yearn for his coming each moment in our waiting hearts. Forgive us for not opening our eyes to Jesus. Prepare us for his return. Help us to rejoice in the light and the love of Christmas, so that your grace can illumine the dark places of our hearts. Amen. And now, for this next moment, your own personal confession of sin, the things you need to say to God today. And now, dear friends, this we should hear. The promise is that our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, will be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this good news and know that in Christ we are forgiven and made new. Amen. Now in one voice we confess the faith of the Church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Give an Advent greeting to those near you and around you. So Maddie, who had been with us for a time, and you've gotten to know, said that she had a three-legged dog, and can we bless her dog? Well, yes, we can. And I don't know if you are aware of the fact that October, in many churches, is a time in which the animals are blessed. Did you know that, Mickey? You did, because you're a Catholic.
She's a veterinarian.
As well as a Protestant now, of course. Love St. Francis of Assisi. You may recognize that great prayer. It's, make us instruments of thy peace, many people. It's a great thing. And St. Francis loved the animals and nature and the sun and the moon. And he called the sun and the moon his brother and sister. And the birds would come on the trees and he would preach to the birds. He would tell them, you're doing a good job praising God. Keep praising God. He was one with all the earth, with all animals and nature. And so the blessing of the animals comes out of the tradition of St. Francis of Assisi.
beginning in the Catholic Church and then the Anglican Church, and now in many churches, Protestant and otherwise, there's some recognition that animals and pets and dogs and cats and birds are part of us in a special way, that God loves them and loves us together and has given these gifts. If you've ever had a dog, you know that that dog got as much love as some people in your life have done, right? And maybe more. And so when Maggie said she had a three-legged dog, and can we bless it? I said, well, of course. Especially a three-legged dog. I just like the idea that all of us are sort of missing something, and we just make it the best we can. And this is Bear, who's full of life and mischief here this morning among us with Maddie and Susan. Maddie's mother. So let us begin with prayer. Let's pray together. Blessed are you, Lord God, maker of all living creatures. You call forth fish in the sea, birds in the air, and animals on the land. You inspired St. Francis to call all of them his brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless this bed, to bless Bear, by the power of your love, enable it to live according to your plan. May we always praise you for all your beauty in creation. Blessed are you, Lord our God, and all your creatures. And so I speak now to Bear. He's not paying attention, but maybe he kind of gets the feeling that we're giving the blessing here. Bear, you were created by God, and you are loved by God, and you are loved by this family, I can tell. May you experience joy being together with your family. May you be a blessing to those you live with. And so, this is holy water. It's holy because I just said it. And I'm just going to give a little holy water to bless Bear and to say, Bear, you're welcome to join us in worship anytime. And we're glad you're here. You're blessed. Let us pray. God, our Creator, help us to love all creatures, animals, partners on earth. We pray your blessing upon Bear. Thank you.
violence, Jesus says no more.
As it is written, a new command I give, love one another as I have loved you.
In a world where hurting people are too often neglected, Jesus says no more.
As it is written, a new command I give, love one another as I have loved you.
In a world where another's needs are too often overlooked, Jesus says no more.
As it is written, a new command I give, love one another as I have loved you.
This morning we light 4 candles. In a world where darkness abounds, the light of the first candle radiates the hope of God's unfailing promise. As we light the second candle, we long for God's perfect peace to calm our souls and end our wars. The third candle reminds us that no matter what our circumstances, there is joy in the coming Christ who opens our eyes to the everlasting light. And as we light the fourth candle, we seek to share others the love God has shown us through the gift of Jesus Christ. Scripture says we love because you first loved us. We confess that too often we fail to love others the way you love us. With our eyes fixed upon you, help us to love others in the manner you love us. We pray this in your heavenly and holy name. Amen.
So we have lighted 4 candles. 4 candles, each candle representing 1,000 years. The world waited and prayed for God to come in a special way. We've lighted candles of hope and peace and joy. That's the pink one. And now love. And then on Christmas Eve, I hope you'll join us. We'll light the Christ candle. Christ, the light of the world, the Savior of the world. And from that candle, your candles, hold a candle, symbolizing that God has put the light into your life, and you will carry it from Christmas and all this. So as we gather together for prayer, again, please remember Patty in St. Margaret's Hospital, others on your hearts. We had an almost scare this week. We're grateful to God that our granddaughter was in a 5-car accident in Charleston, South Carolina. She was the last car. Somebody came across a median, 5 cars, and her car was not totaled. All the others were. So we are mindful of them, grateful, especially that our granddaughter is okay. She'll be okay for Christmas. So we give thanks for that. I'm sure you've got something in your heart to give thanks for, and I'm sure you've got someone you love who needs God's grace peace and healing, as well as our world, a world in conflict and difficulty and darkness. Let us join together in prayer. Good and gracious Lord, as we meet together to worship you, we pray that our hearts and minds might catch a strong and overwhelming glimpse of your glory, so that we may be people who rejoice in your presence and abide in your peace. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came, the light of the world, to love those who were unloved, forgotten, mistreated, ignored, bullied, who came to give to those who had nothing to look forward to the promise of peace and abundance in the midst of their anxious daily cares. God, we pray that you will prepare us in these days for your coming into the world, that in whatever difficult time our lives find us, your grace and love will drive away despair from our hearts, that you will revive our dreams of a world of justice and peace, and lives renewed by the grace and miracle of your love. Give us eyes so that we can search the faces of the stranger and see your face. Give us sensitive hearts to hear the doubt and hesitation, and with that other person share in their confusions and concerns with a listening, caring heart. There are those whom we know who are unwell at this time. We lift up Patty and others, and all those who are struggling to handle their pain and difficulty. In this moment of silence, we pray for them now, for you to come to them and in them, for your love and miracle of grace. Oh God, what we have promised in love and faith, let us never forget to do. We bring you our prayers in Christ's name, who taught disciples to pray and say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We rise once again, if able, and join together in singing our hymn number 100, and on the screen as well. seated, please. We joyfully bring our gifts of praise. For your gifts and the privilege we have to be a part of your work of redeeming the world in Christ's name. Amen.
Today's reading is from Luke 1, 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
I graduated from the same seminary that Martin Luther King did, had the same professor of ethics that he had, and through my ministry have known many of his friends and colleagues along the way. And so his words on love would be appropriate for us to hear as we light the fourth candle, the candle of love this day. King wrote and preached, "We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as cooperation with good. And so put us in jail, and we will go in with humble smiles on our faces, still loving you. bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit morally, culturally, and otherwise for integration. And we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hours and drag us out on some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead, and we will still love you. But be assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win our freedom. But not only will we win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for the candle of love, for its power to make the world right. And we pray that in these moments, your word will be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone wrote a book called Fierce Love. I like that title. You've just heard about fierce love. Love is also tender, and love is also soft and kind, and it comes in many ways, packaged in many colors. The Bible is so full of appeals, celebrations of love. In one of First John's, the writing of First John in the New Testament, the writer says, God is love. And those who live in love live in God. And God in them. And whoever wrote that book to Timothy, the young pastor, said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And perhaps you know that story in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and they were talking about all of the rules and rights, all the things in the law that were important. And someone said, Teacher, there are 630 laws. Which one is the most important of all? And Jesus did not say, let me go and check that out and come back and tell you after I check. See. He said immediately those great words, the great commandment. He took from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus, the scriptures that they all knew anyway, and he put together something that can never be separated. It is wed together and it is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. Deuteronomy, it's there. Look it up. And then from Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it means to be a human being. This is what it means to be created in the image of God. That we would be persons who live with the fourth candle lighted in our hearts, that we would be forever growing in our understanding of what it means to be God's loving presence. hearts. God always seems to be calling us to love beyond. To be persons who are, we are not finished, we're never finished, we're never complete, we never graduate, we're always in that process of learning and learning and relearning so that our hearts grow. It makes our eyes shine, it gives us song. Our lives have a song, like Mary who was given this gift of love in the promise when the angel came and she said, "My soul glorifies God." Or in some translations, "My soul magnifies." Or in a more recent translation, "With all of my heart, I praise the Lord." It was a heart that was receptive, and it was a heart that was ready to grow and to grow and to grow and become larger and larger and larger. That's our task, to be people whose eyes shine and whose hearts sing. That's the gift of the Christmas time, the Christmas gift. We will be very challenged at this point. Has there ever been a time when human life is so cheap? Are you reading the papers? Are you watching the news? Has there ever been a time when human life is so cheap, so expendable? And so we are always being tempted to join the world in that, to believe that there is something else that's more important, to believe that there is a way through life to success, to happiness, to joy, whatever we think our hearts need, that there's a way that will go around love and take another path, take that path. We are always so tempted. The world tempts us. Don't trust love. Trust what the world promises. Don't trust love. And so Mary's response in Mary's prayer, the fourth candle of Advent, it's at the heart of what we are and who we are, and we need to keep reclaiming it. Come back to it. Be renewed in it, because it wants to go out, the flame. The world wants to extinguish that flame. Call us in a different way. We light the fourth candle of Advent because we need to let our hearts grow bigger. Because there's a star. There's a star over every person that God has made. And our task is to help that person to unpackage and to see and to experience the glory of their lives, because people don't see that. That's the task. That's the evangelistic task of the church. To help people see that there's a star over their life, and that there's a glory hidden and can be found and can be celebrated and can be theirs. And it comes through the gift and renewal of love. Our task is to help people to see that star. And so we keep growing. We keep growing in love. It doesn't matter what skin color. It doesn't matter what economic place. It doesn't matter even what they've done, because we're all in that same boat of having failed. Children don't have requirements about who they love. They just love whoever is in their lives. They accept whoever's in their lives. But we adults, oh, we have requirements, you see. That first you've got to change. You've got to follow this way. You've got to meet the requirement. You've got to jump over this hurdle. You've got to accomplish this task. Adults have all of these requirements, and we, the way we relate to each other is that we reject, we fail to love, because people haven't lived up to our expectations, our needs, our beliefs and what they need to do to be acceptable, to be loved. Jesus' call to love is nothing like that. Nothing like that. It was always gift. Always gift that wasn't particularly merited. It was the gift before the change. The change always came after. But the gift of love came first, and it was in the giving of the love that enabled people to take a different task, to take a different way, to be a different person. The love came first, the change came after. But we want to just reverse that and say, you change, then I'll love. Jesus never loved that way, and neither should we. It's a story about a seminary student who was up in Ontario, Canada, and it was a cold Sunday morning, colder than today. Of course, in Ontario, it gets really cold up there. And this seminary student was invited to preach in some church, and so he drove out, got there early, settled into the pastor's study to go over his notes to pray before the service. I know what he prayed. He prayed what I pray every time before I preach. God, I've got some notes and this is awful. And if you don't come and get in my voice and heart and mind, this is going to be a disaster. So would you please help me this morning to proclaim what it is these people need to hear. He was praying something like that. And in the middle of that, some woman burst into the office and said, you've got to come quickly. You've got to help. There's a man off the street. Some street man, some homeless man has come into the sanctuary. And he stinks to high heaven. You've got to throw him out. She believed he was able to do that because he was about 6'3" and about 250 pounds. He was a huge guy. And he knew that he was in trouble because his sermon that morning was about love. And he had just been asked to throw somebody from the street back into the street. Well, when he got into the sanctuary, some people had already gathered around this man. One person was sitting next to him, offering hospitality, welcome, even though the smell was overwhelming. Some woman got the bright idea of going into the kitchen and started making a sandwich because she knew he had to be hungry. And then an 8-year-old girl walked up to him and handed him a pair of socks. Someone had noticed that had these old shoes on that didn't have any socks, and because it was so cold, his ankles were almost blue and cold. You know, I don't know what happened after that. the student went back to school and he told this to his professor back at the seminary when he was studying, where he studied. And the professor said, "Where did the socks come from?" And so we just have to guess. That little 8-year-old girl went up to her father and said, "Daddy, he needs a pair of socks." And as that father and daughter drove home that morning, I imagine his heart was just a little bit larger than it had been. And I imagine that he was singing. If not singing aloud, singing in his heart. And you probably could guess the words. The words of Mary in our text today. "With all of my heart, I praise the Lord." The candle of love is lighted. Amen. We close this service joining to sing together. On the screen, we light the Advent candles, and if you're able, please stand as we sing together. Before the benediction, let me just remind you that there is a feast prepared. If you weren't planning to stay, stay. If you think, Oh, I didn't bring anything. I can't stay and eat. I brought a lot. Or enough. There's food for us all. There is a welcome for every person. So join us and stay if you possibly can. We would love to have you with all of us in feast and party together following the service. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God that never lets us go and that redeems and blesses the world every moment, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives power to life, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.